Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 13. Luke, chapter number 13. And for tonight, we want to talk about being conformed to his image and showing compassion to others. This is really, really an awesome weekend. And I think Brother Sam Jones set the tone for us to really understand and to appreciate the relationship that we get to have with God. And that relationship is steeped in compassion. Anybody in this gathering need a little forgiveness? Does anybody need a little? Have you ever had some days like that that you need a little more grace? There's this pattern that Jesus gives, and that the life that he actually lives sets in motion a very simple pattern for us to follow. Because we know that there will be trouble. Anybody have trouble? And so, as long as trouble comes, we have the capacity to select thoughts that will eventually help us to see the triumph by having compassion to others. I want us to really think about this for a moment as we go into this passage, because it sets in motion a series of things from one stage into the next. Let me ask a question before we go. Are you understanding how I speak?
Yes.
Nice. So, I want to teach you a little Trinidadian language. Is that okay? So, I want you to look at the person next to you and say, "I'm glad to see you." Now, spoken, you know, American, it would be, "I am glad to see you." But no. "I'm glad to see you." Right. So, now try it. "I'm glad to see you." Now, these two fellas watch each other and they're not too happy. All right. "I'm glad to see you." Nice. So we know that we need some compassion. So here's what we're going to do tonight, just for the brief time that we have. Table number one and table number two, you're going to give us some good news at the end of our discussion. You're going to give us some good news. So coming down close to the end, you're going to get together and Sam Jones is going to lead you. And we need to have some compassion, all right? And he's going to lead this group, and you all are going to come up with some good news. Could you do that? Yes. We need some good news in this world that we live in. Amen? Nice. Tables number 3, 4, and 5. You're going to give us some good encouragement. And who's going to lead this group? 10, 9, 8. Nice. What's your name? Jimmy. Okay, Jimmy's going to lead this group, and you're going to just give us some good encouragement because we need it. Is that all right?
That's all right.
Then, everybody else on this side, who's going to lead? 10, 9. Okay. Fran is going to lead. So Fran, I like how Fran put up his hand. You all saw how Fran put up his hand? Right. Okay, so he's. All right, he has two names. All right, Fran on this side, Kane on this side. Okay, Kane. Friend, okay, all right, good. So he's going to lead this group on this side, and you're all going to come up with some good information. So based on everything that we speak about, little bits of information that you're going to share with us that you gathered, okay, you're going to share with us at the end. In Luke 13, there's this parable, and Jesus is going to set in motion a series, an approach that we could use so that we too could have that forgiveness and grace that Sam spoke about, that compassion to really help others. But we need a procedure. So we're going to use that procedure to actually help us. So in this scene in Luke chapter 13, Jesus begins with an amazing parable. We're familiar with this. A certain man, he came, he saw the fig tree, and the fig tree is not producing anything. So what does he do? He says, "Cut it down." And the vineyard dresser, He comes and says, please, please, don't cut it down. Let's leave it for a minute and let's dig around it just a bit and fertilize it. The King James says, put some dung around it. What is dung, anybody? Right, next. Isn't that true that sometimes we go through moments like that in our lives? You feel like somebody dug around you and just loaded around you, and everywhere you turn, you know what I'm talking about. Everywhere you turn, it seems to be a mess, and you hope that it would be a message, but it doesn't always go that way. Let's examine and see from the passage. To start us off, notice that there is trouble in the way. In the first instance, he says, cut it down. Have you ever felt like giving up? There comes a time when, you know, the people around you don't seem to be willing to help you the way. And, you know, on your job, you have a supervisor that just does not deal with you properly. You have one like that? Or you have a neighbor. There were these two neighbors talking one day, and one liked to show off on the other neighbor. And so one says, you know, my son is into the law, and he has been appointed a lawyer, and he is moving up into the high court. And the neighbor says, yeah. The next one, you know, she wants to show off too. So she says, well, I have a son like that. He is into the law. He's in jail. The truth is, there comes a time in our lives we want to cut it down. We want to cut loose of whatever, sometimes relationships that we don't want. Sometimes we have situations that develop in our lives that we don't need. And boy, oh boy, we could just do with some compassion. And there are people around us that needed that compassion. But the scripture says that the dresser says, cut it down. But look a little closer. That is the trouble in the passage. That is the challenge in the passage. And as we think about reaching out to others to extend the compassion, most of the time it is a situation of trouble that comes that leads to having compassion. There's a nice little chorus that says, trouble in my way. You all know that chorus? I have to cry sometimes. Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night. But that's all right. Because Jesus, he's going to fix it. I know that Jesus, he's going to fix it. Oh, so singing is not my thing. So the thing is, sometimes there is trouble in the way. And we ourselves need compassion. But there are people around us that need the same compassion. And if we reach out to them, we can help them to find the Jesus that fixes it. Is that all right? Good so far? But there's something else happening in the passage. But he answered and said, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. You know, here is the opportunity. You see, not only is there trouble, but the passage gives us a thought. Remember I told you that in the midst of trouble, we could select our thoughts. We were reminded a little while ago, Brother Sam told us Philippians chapter 2. And he emphasized, let this mind be in you. You see, we have the capacity to select the thoughts that we really need. And by selecting those thoughts, we could actually guide our physiology. We could guide all our feelings. We could guide all our actions by selecting the best thought. Jesus teaches us this. Because notice in the passage, who says it? It is the vine dresser. He's the one that is on the ground. He's the one that is right there with the plant. He's probably seeing this tree every single day. You know, the worst thing you could get, if somebody who is not connected trying to direct the thing. Wow. They have no connection at all. Have you ever gone to somebody and you have some real deep issue and all they say, pray about it, brother. No connection at all. None whatsoever. And they believe that just by praying about it, no, don't get me wrong, prayers are effective. But it comes along with a relationship. It comes along with a hand on a shoulder that says, I really care. It comes along with eye contact that says, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. And she says, I'm glad. It comes along with a relationship that says, I really understand. You see, when we make eye contact, we are actually connecting at a much deeper level. Here's how God puts it. Seek ye my face. God is longing for us to desire him to the point that we could look him in his eyes. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, and he describes this scene with Jesus and how they could not look at Moses face to face, so that Moses had to wear a veil. Some people calling it hijab. But Moses had to wear a veil to cover his face, and they could not steadfastly look unto Moses. But here we are, we have Jesus, and we could look at him face to face. And as we look at him face to face, we are conformed. We are changed. We are transformed into his image. All the ladies in this room who have a mirror in their bags, let me see your hands. Or a mirror that is available. If you don't have one in your bag, you have one in the bathroom. And it's available. What do you do with that mirror? You go in there and you look at you and you make the adjustment. Don't you? You make the adjustment. And so it is with Christ, that as we look at him and we look toward him, we are able to be changed as we fashion ourselves according to his will and his purpose. Is that all right? So you realize that now the divine dresser says, dig around it and fertilize it. God allows us sometimes to be covered in some mess so that we could understand it's not about us. So that we could appreciate that the compassion we receive from him, we could actually give to others and help them to know. Here's the opportunity that in the midst of difficulty, we could select a thought that could bring us closer to him. But the passage is even more beautiful. You see, it ends with triumph. Notice, if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down. Can you see an opportunity here? If it bears fruit, does God want fruit from our lives? Does he want results from us? Does he want us to produce something in this world? You see, he gives us that opportunity every day. And we think about how much we use of that opportunity. If I worship every day of my life, at the end of all of my days, I still have not attained unto some level of righteousness that God could say yes. So if I come to worship every Sunday for the year, that is only 52. What happens to the rest of the days? And if I were to measure all of that in my lifetime, the truth is I give God out of 70 years, maybe 5 or 6, if I add up all those days. I'm so glad God is not measuring our righteousness by how we do things. He measures it because of his grace. Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace of the Father. Y'all know the rest, right? You know I'm not going to sing it, right? Isn't it just beautiful that his grace reaches me? Isn't it just amazing? And so here now, what we actually have is that if this thing bears fruit, if this opportunity comes by, and I have that opportunity now because I'm alive, I have that opportunity, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Y'all know that verse, right? Y'all know that verse? Turn to the book of Hezekiah, chapter number 2. Let's go. Hezekiah, chapter number 2. Gets difficult in here. It's going to be a tough day. I love this. Yeah, boy. It's kind of difficult. If you didn't know, Hezekiah is not a book in the Bible. It's just songs that way, but Hezekiah is not a book in the Bible. It's just not. It's just, you know. No, that was not nice. That was so not nice. You know, you found Hezekiah in your Bible? Or that's page 10. But you realize the opportunity for us to grow, to get to know God, to get to know his word comes as we are alive. Because a living dog is better than a dead lion. What a privilege it is to be a Christian, to have access to God's word so that we can study it and use it and build our lives and put a smile on our faces when things go wrong. There's your triumph. That we could find that glorious moment in every challenge. Find an opportunity to smile because he has given us life. Can we see the pattern? How does the pattern start? With what? Trouble. Then what? There's a thought. Then what? Triumph. Watch Jesus carefully. He flips from a parable and he starts to deal with a person in the same passage. He starts to deal with an individual in the passage. Remember, the first one was a story. It was a parable, you know, alongside. And to give that idea that, you know, this could relate. And so now he takes the parable and he brings it to a person. And all of a sudden, he comes up with this woman. And there's this woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Wow. Not only so, but she had this infirmity and she could not raise herself up. Do you know anybody like that? Don't answer that. But in this world, there are people who cannot raise themselves up emotionally, morally, spiritually. They are bent downwards and they can hardly even walk because their lives have been so warped and disturbed by their own history, their geography and their chemistry. And they are bent over more than 18 years. Some people, they're so bent over that they could barely think straight. And they walk thinking nobody knows the troubles I see. And they don't ever finish the song. Have you ever been there? When you feel your struggles have bent you out of shape? And that's the time when we feel all alone. We feel that nobody really cares. Nobody tends to call you that time. And nobody seemed to really understand. But Jesus cares. He's been tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He knows. I really appreciate Brother Sam. He really set the tone for the weekend with his message, because I'm reminded of Christ. And he finds himself in the garden. And he says, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. I heard a young preacher say recently, his name is Livon Lewis. He said, looking at this verse, is anything impossible with God? So it would have been possible for God to move that cup from Jesus, because nothing is impossible. So when Jesus prayed and he says, Father, if it be possible, is it possible? Yes, it is possible, but it would not be profitable. Why? Because it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. It pleased him just for you. Before the foundation of the world, he was preparing for you. How many sins do you have? Don't answer that. Just think with me. Sister Mary, if we multiply your sins on a daily basis, we will have plenty. No wonder when they found a woman caught in adultery, and Jesus says to them, he who has no sin, cast the first stone. The scripture gives us a very strange thing. The eldest left first. Oh no. I suppose they took out their calculators and said, well, if I sin 10 times a day, multiply by 7 is 70. Multiply by 4 to make it 1 month would be plenty. And then multiply by 12 to make it 1 year will be more. And then multiply by my age will be, Lord help us. The elders left first. And they knew that they were sinful. But it's amazing in the passage that nobody brings the man. Where was the man? If she was caught in adultery in the very act, where's the man? You know where he got that information? That is from the first Caribbean translation of the Bible. He ran. Oh, but there are so many people in our world who cannot raise up themselves because of sin. I was in St. Lucia just recently. The young man that Brother Sam spoke about, oh, we know intimately. Botham Jean. We know him well. He and my son were, you know, bathing in the seaside a couple of years ago. We cried. The whole church cried. But that day that his younger brother embraced Amber Geiger, we cried as well. Because we knew somewhere along the line somebody needs to be raised up. Somebody needs to stand and know that all is well as long as God is with you. She could not raise up herself. That's the trouble. But look a little closer. Jesus called her. Oh, you talk about that call tonight. I told you, he really set the tone. I think he was looking at my notes. To check this guy out. But he called her and he said to her, this is significant, this is important. He didn't just call her and say, well, you know, you just stand by me. He gave her information so that the calling could cause her to be the called. Is that all right? And so now that she is the called, she answers the call and he says to her, woman, you are loosed. Wow, that is past tense, loosed, not loose. Totally different thing. In other words, she was set free from the burdens. She was now free to walk upright. She was now free to be a woman and to stand strong and to make a difference. Let me tell all the ladies in here tonight, do not allow anyone to deny you your sovereign personality. Do not let anyone in this world take that away from you, especially the young single ones. Keep upright all the time. I wonder if God were to come in our world now and to look for a virgin to bring forth a son, if he will find one. Whether in the church or not. Because there are those who come to worship and they are wearing less and less clothes. They look like KFC, breast and leg exposed. But I'm glad for our young people. Tonight I greeted a whole row of young people. They're all dressed properly, looking good, smelling good. And when I shook their hands, it was firm and secure. We ought to say amen for our young people. They make us proud. Thank God for Jesus. So notice in the passage, there's this thought that if we obey the call, isn't that what Brother Sam was telling us? That if we submit ourselves to his call, then what's the thought? Look good. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she did what? She glorified God. Was there triumph in the passage? Yes, the same pattern now for a person. So we are able, if we follow the same pattern as we deal with people who need compassion, we could help them. We could help our own selves. So when we help ourselves, guess what? We could extend that to others also, because we experience a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. I cannot sell any of these ladies' lipstick because I would not put it on. Is that all right? So I can't explain to you the experience of taking lipstick. Now, there are some people in our world, men, who do that. Isn't it sad? This whole LGBT and the rest of the alphabet, folks that are really producing difficulty in our world, we have to stand strong. And to teach our young men the right thing, and to teach our young ladies the right thing, that God designed Adam and Eve. And so the whole LGBT rest of the alphabet movement knows that they cannot reproduce, so what they do is recruit. And the church has to stand. We extend compassion to those who are sexually challenged and therefore have problems with a sexual identity, but we will not condone the practices of homosexuality. That's our position. That God has the capacity in his goodness to forgive all sin. And sin is sin. We have to stand strong. And so they stole our rainbow. And we have to take it back. Is that all right? So Jesus now leaves the person and he brings it to a principle, because now they challenge him. They challenge his position. He dealt with the parable before and he moved over to a person, but they don't like it. And so the high priest come in and he have a lot of issues. How could you heal the lady on the Sabbath? You could see him with a complete with neck. You know, you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath day. I like Jesus. He says a little, you know, really? You know, really? If you have a donkey or an ox that fall down in the pit. You know, the funny thing is, the word ox is the same word for son in the language. So that's what Jesus actually did for us. He came down in the pit for us, didn't he? You think his father would have left him there? Sabbath or no Sabbath, he raised them up on the first day of the week. And so the problem and the trouble in the passage is that they were now complaining. When is it a good time to do good? They had an issue that Jesus would heal on the Sabbath day. But I like Jesus. You see, he gives them a thought. The Lord answered, these are hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Anybody? Huh? Yeah, they say something and they do something else. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be what they do not intend to be. Could we say that again? A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be what they do not intend to be. Wow. So he calls them hypocrite and he says, which one of you have an ox or a donkey? Wow. Dung in the pit on a Sabbath day. And here is this woman. She is a daughter of Abraham. I like Jesus on this because he gives her identity. You know, we have identity. You have an ID card? May I see it, please? You know, if I could give you a gift, would be the opportunity to see how she just looked at me. But, you know, like, excuse me, you know. Hell no, you know, sorry. Not this ID card. You see, I'm going to see her date of birth, and she's a little concerned. No. So, on this ID card, Kayla, it bears an image. And this image is really a reflection of this person. Wow. So this is yours. This belongs to you. Because it has your image on it. And so we are conformed to. I belong to somebody. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes,
we go with a loving attitude and still.
Yes, the Bible tells me so. So, Kayla, this image on this card makes this card yours. I'm so glad that God loves me because he gives me his image. Do I deserve it? No. The 19th of January, 1993. I went to the San Fernando General Hospital to visit my father. For the first time in all my years, I was able to look my father in his eyes and say, Daddy, I love you. Helena, that was the last time. He died on the 20th. I really believe that God has a sense of humor. Because by the 13th of October 1996, he gave me a son. When Annie brought home that little bundle of stuff, I really didn't know what to do with it. So she took it and brought it and rested it on a cushion on my lap. And I had to now train myself to love this thing. Now I knew that my father was there. He was there, he was in the house, but for the very first time, Dan, I could look at him and say, I love you, and he could not respond. The cancer had spread all over his body, so the doctor says, look, it doesn't make any sense. And the next day, I could not look at him anymore. His eyes were now closed, and he was dead. Now I have this little animal in front of me wondering what to do. So guess what? I had to train myself now to say, I love you. Now that little animal is 23 years old. And before I left, I was able to look at him and say, Paul, that's his name, I love you. And he said, I love you too. He's sound asleep. We left 3 o'clock this morning. We left home 3 o'clock. So, I am tired. So, but he now bears my image. He now bears some characteristics that I have. And somebody said, thank God he resembles his mother. But it's our image that is now on him. And so one day he was walking down the street and somebody called me and said, Brother Dominic, I saw your son Paul at the bottom of High Street. Is he supposed to be there? I say, yeah, he's waiting for me. So I drove up a few minutes after and I pick up Paul. I said, Paul, were you at the bottom of High Street waiting for me? He said, yeah, Daddy, how you know that? I said, somebody called and said you were at the bottom of High Street. What were you doing there? He said, waiting for you. I said, I know, son. He said, oh gosh, a man can lime a little bit. Lime means hang out. A man can lime a little bit. Anywhere I go, somebody know you. So he applied to Caribbean Airlines for a job as a pilot. And he walks into the interview and somebody says, the CEO of Caribbean Airlines says, Paul Dos Santos, your father named Dominic? He got the job. Is that all right? So now I want us to understand that Jesus is showing us the power of that thought, that we are actually bearing the image of the Father. We are bearing the image in such a way that look at what happened. She was a daughter of Abraham. He gave her an identity. What's your identity? Who do you belong to? Are you a child of the King? So why behave like a pauper if you know that your Father owns everything? Why live confused and tired and lost when you know full well you belong to him who has everything? And there are things that you own that this world could never touch. And I'm not talking about the gold. I'm not talking about the silver. I'm not talking about the size of the house. I'm talking about the opportunity for forgiveness, the capacity to pray, the strength that we have knowing that we could call on heaven. And be able to face any challenge face to face. Especially knowing that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open doors. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. What a joy it is to be a Christian, to bear his image in this world. So here's the triumph. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Are you seeing the triumph that this woman had? Are you seeing the pattern that we could follow? So this world might laugh at you. This world might reject you. This world might misunderstand you. But the day is going to come when you too will step on a cloud and be with Jesus. Be able to rejoice with all the angels And by the way, there'll be no preachers there, Brother Sam. It is when all of God's singers get home. So those who sit down and sing, Amazing Grace, is not that amazing to you? So, Lawrence, next time you sing Amazing Grace, put a smile on your face because you know it has to be amazing. So the pattern is clear for us to understand. What's our trouble? The trouble that we have is sin. That's the world's trouble. But could you imagine for a moment, what would you say to someone who lives on a street and just down the road, the bridge broke out and the drop is about 2,500 feet down and they're standing in their gallery just waving to folks passing by? What would you think about those people? Bye, have a safe journey. And they know that the bridge is out. Bye. What would you say about those people? They're selfish. Evil. Uh-oh. Stupid. That's Mary Wood. But this world is driving itself down a cliff of death and damnation. If we as the church stand by and wave to them, then we are selfish, stupid. We have friends that are not yet in Christ. We have neighbors who are not yet in Christ. We have co-workers who are not yet in Christ. Family who are not yet in Christ. Now is a good time to stop waving and start sharing. We have 5 more minutes. Group number one, get together quick. Group number two, get together quick. Group number three, get together quick. Let's do this really, really quick. Okay, let's everybody be listening. Everybody be listening. Group number one, good news.
The good news is Matthew 26:69-75 is that we can mess up like Peter messed up, but we serve a God that can see the potential in us and give us another chance. Mm. It's encouraging to know that we serve a God that sees the potential in us. And that's good news.
Amen.
Every one of us, we what?
We mess up.
But we serve a God. It doesn't matter how bad we are, He'll give us another chance.
All right. Are you saying that the mess up sometimes is what God allows because it's dumb? Thanks. Could we say amen for group number one?
Amen.
Group number two, good encouragement. Amen. Amen. Can we say a big amen for group number two?
Amen.
Amen. Group number three. Good information.
Good information.
Yes.
If we all have new work, we all need new work. Okay, pride and identity. God's word helps us bring forth fruit in our lives.
Amen. See, at the end of the day, let's say an amen for group number three.
Amen.
Amen. At the end of the day, even though we see trials and they're going to come and we see troubles, they're going to come, we could select our thoughts based on the word of God, and those thoughts help us to find the triumph, the victory. So let's sing that little chorus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever He sought me. Could we stand? And bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I pray God will help us and encourage us and build us over this weekend. May God bless you and thank you.